Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for joining me here for another episode here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. Today is the episode where we do basically from the pulpit to the couch. And today's show is basically designed for believers and non-believers, as we will be answering some of the challenging questions that most individuals struggle with and that some may have questions about as it relates to learning more about the Bible, learning more about Jesus, turning their life over, talking about deliverance, salvation. And we're not trying to be Bible-thumping Christians or turn people away, but what we do want to do is be there for individuals that are struggling, that may be going through some things, that may have lost their way, that may have backslid and want to find another way of doing things. Because as we know, tomorrow is not promised, life is short, but the joy that we have can definitely be everlasting. So, again, I want to thank you for joining me here today, and I want to first give honor to God for waking me up this morning, as my friend thought I didn't go to sleep last night, considering that I was up till 1, 2 o'clock in the morning trying to put this information out, and somebody put me in Facebook jail, but that's okay, because I was only suspended for a week, so I'm done anyway. So, again, thank you for joining me here today. Now, today's topic has to do with where is your faith? And it looked like the pastor just joined me, so I'm going to log him on. But I want to say that many believers state that they put their faith in God, yet one will often doubt or constantly worry about the troubles of the world, things that they're going through, their family members, money. Now, is it true that we cast all of our cares on him, or do we want to hold on to some things because we think that we can do it a little better? Or perhaps do we turn everything over to God? And sometimes this also causes much confusion during our Christian walk. So, what is the purpose of having faith? Now, the pastor's on, and let me log him on. Give me 1 second. Hello, Pastor. How are you doing today?
Hello, good morning. I'm doing very well, and today is the day that the Lord has made, and I'm very happy.
That is good, and when he made it, I hope he sure helped me find my lipstick and my makeup bag, because I can't find it.
Oh, boy.
I told somebody, my lipstick, I found my lipstick. It's 20-something years old. I was so happy to find it. It's discontinued, and now I can't even find it again. So I guess it'll be another 20 years before it reappear again. But that's okay.
Uh-oh.
That is okay. I ain't going to worry about that. So I want to thank you for joining us today. And today's topic, We're going to be talking about where is your faith. And a lot of times when we talk about faith, many people get confused. And I want to say this. I don't know if you remember, but when you had me go through the school of ministry, and I didn't want to do all that reading, but I was trying to be obedient, but I was kind of half obedient. And I kind of threw back up in your face when you was talking about faith, and I said, I have faith that you're not going to give me a test. And you were talking about the faith of a mustard seed, but you didn't give me a test, but I still never got my certificate for that either. So, but I challenged you on that faith. So,
yes, you did.
You tested it, but life has been a test. So tell the listeners who you are, where you are the senior pastor at, and let's start talking about where is your faith.
Good morning, listeners. My name is Pastor Dan Estelle, Daniel Ross Estelle. I am the senior pastor at High Dominion Worship Center in San Marcos, California. We are located at 800 West Mission Road in the beautiful city of San Marcos, and we're happy to be here to share our God-given knowledge on today.
Okay, Pastor, when we start talking about faith, and we know that, and you kind of preached last week, talking about have the hospital, the church can be like a hospital. And a lot of times individuals always talk about faith, and they throw it around like, you know, do I trust God? Do I have faith in God? You know, and, you know, you used to always say sometimes, you know, we could be delayed but not denied, and we struggle with that faith. Tell the listeners, what the word, what it means when we talk about faith.
For believers, what we want to do today is go in depth in what faith means, because there are quite a few definitions out there. And what we want to do today is just pinpoint what faith really is. We have some time to talk about it today, but this is something that you really need to go to a conference on. And I thought about it as I was getting prepared for this. We might do a conference just on faith. And so when we look at faith, what I've looked at was examples of Old Testament faith, examples of New Testament faith. And what basically is faith, again, from a philosophical point of view, is God's way of relating covenant, promises, agreement, and partnership with man. And so what we have to understand about God is that God is all encompassing. And when we can't be like God, God will make himself to be like us. We can't have his authority. We can't have his power. We can't have his knowledge. We can't have, you know, his destiny. And so what God does is he create ways for us to connect with him. And one of them is by faith. Now, in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for faith is emana, and it means an agreement. And we have a special God that will make agreement with men, with his own creation, to take us to our destiny. Faith can be broad. Faith can be multifaceted. And then faith can be very simple. There's a lot of examples of it in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the Greek word for faith is pistis. And what that is, it's a noun. And it's even feminine. So faith can be a she. God uses faith like a mother. And what it is like belief, trust, and confidence. And then there's even an example of faith in the New Testament of fidelity, which is a very strong connection with the Lord. And so what God does by faith is, for us, it's a true test of partnership. Everybody's faith is of a different measure, and everybody's faith can increase. We're all given a certain measure when we first start out. And then our faith increases with a couple of things, Jeanette. It increases with our character. It increases with our gifts. And it increases with our callings. So that's my opening statement.
You know, Pastor, it's interesting because as you were talking, Bryce and L.A. popped into my spirit. And many of us used to sit at home and watch TV. And we used to go to TV church. And Bryce was very big. And one of the things he would always say is, we walk by faith, not by sight. And a lot of times that was my interpretation of where I started learning about faith, meaning I need to believe in something even if I can't see it, even if I don't know it. I got to believe that God got my back and he going to get me through this. And that is in 2 Corinthians in regards to 5 through 7. But it's interesting because that's how many of us was taught. Have faith, baby. It's going to be okay. We walk around, I'm like, I don't like this. I don't know if this is going to go right. And a lot of times we struggle with that. Even the mature Christians will still sit there and get the worry in and rock in and tell you, baby, have faith. How am I supposed to have faith if you struggling with having faith? So when we start, and you indicated something in regards to different measures. A lot of times we do measure it based on what we see, but yet we're taught to walk by faith and not by sight. Can you give the listeners a little more interpretation in regards to that?
Yes. I'm going to answer both questions. So the first question is related to Price and the faith movement. And then the second question, I believe, is walking by faith.
We walk by faith and not by sight, which is the 2 Corinthians.
Okay. All right. So, a lot of people misinterpreted Dr. Price. What Dr. Price and the whole faith movement a man by the name of Hank Hinegraaff, who calls himself a Christian apologist, and different other people attacked Price, attacked the faith movement. And, you know, it's a shame because the church spends so much time attacking the church. They mm-hmm. they give a free pass. They give a free pass for the devil. And so Pastor Price never said what James 2, 14 and 26 says, is, you know, faith without works is dead. Mm-hmm. What some people interpreted is that all you had to do was name it and claim it. If you believe in God, name it and claim it. Some people said, oh, just speak it into existence. And what people did was they took all of those things out of context because they did not ask. What Dr. Price did was what he lived on. He came from nothing. He was a poor man. The Lord blessed him to build a beautiful ministry from hard work. And so faith is believing what God says in the promises. Now, the work comes from being obedient. Did you catch the mm-hmm. difference? So faith is hearing and listening. And now that you heard, run. Now that you got the vision, run. Go out and work now, and God is going to do his part long as we're doing our part. And so that's the first part of that question. And we've seen how the Lord has blessed so many people by faith. People have to catch the vision of God in different ways. Some people are strong on the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Some groups are so just Jesus only, Jesus only. And some groups are faith groups, okay? And some groups are just hooked up on, we're just word churches. We just read the word. We don't need all that shouting and charisma and these type of things. And what God is really saying is, you need all of it. Put it all together. Mm-hmm. Put it all together because we need praise. We need worship. We need the word to be on a solid foundation. We need faith because of the definitions that we talked about, their agreement from the Lord, its support, its belief, its trust, its confidence. We need all of those things in God to be able to face what we're facing and to get through it and to reach our destiny. A believer cannot be effective without faith. Okay? Now, the second part of that question is walking by faith. And so to answer that question is that when we are first saved, whether you are saved as a young child, saved as a teenager, and whether you're saved as an older adult, your first part of your journey is by faith. You're believing what your mentors, what your teachers, what the pastor's telling you, you're believing because you haven't learned to work in discernment with the Spirit yet. You haven't learned the true meaning of the Word of God yet. And so we don't get saved and all of a sudden we're apostles the next day. It's a maturation process. It's a long process. And so that's why they say that newborn babes, new believers, walk by faith more than older believers. Are you following me?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because
yes.
We're new. We're new and we're listening. The mothers say, pray, we pray. The mothers say, fast, and we fast. The mother say, okay, we're going to read this today, we're going to do this today, and we do it. But then now a year passes, a couple years, we get a little bit more mature, and we, God then blesses with a few blessings, and we get a couple of titles, and we forget what got us there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So walking by faith, to me, by what the Bible says, what the scriptures teach, is to have a constant relationship with the Lord. It's a daily journey. And what God does is two things. God keeps the faith walk interesting because he is always going to test you, okay? And then God keeps the faith walk interesting because he's always fresh each day. And then I'll explain both of those on a little later on.
Okay. Well, one of the things, Pastor, when I was doing my homework and getting this information together, and I found some information. It was talking about three kinds of faith, and it indicated one, faith as belief, faith as trust, and faith as faithfulness. Because as we're on this journey, And like you said, when you're younger, you're open. And the church is changing. We're running into a lot of more younger individuals that are wanting to go into ministry versus a lot of older individuals because they've already been hurt and wounded. And, you know, when you start talking about forgiving and all these different things, they're struggling with that because even when you go back to talking about in Psalm 37 and talk about how I have not seen the righteous forsaken or see big as bread, a lot of times we start talking about faith with prophesizing and I'm a have it or you have not because you ask not. And I always say that with food, but and I always get it too. I feel so bad for my clients sometimes because they will feed me before they pay me. That is just ridiculous. I mean, going on all kind of food on Tuesday. But by that same token, faith as belief, just having that belief in God. And sometimes we struggle because we will put our faith in other things. So when I did the topic of where is your faith, why do you think so many people put their faith in other things besides God?
The answer to that question is because sometimes, and when I say sometimes, I like to speak in general because I don't want to pinpoint, and I'm not want to be clear to the listeners that we're not pinpointing any individuals. And so when I say us, I mean believers. And what I'm saying is sometimes as believers, when our faith is waning, we will look more to the tangible than the intangible. And for a lot of believers, it's when the tangible lets us down that we say, oh, I'll try God now. Let me give you an example. I'll give you a couple examples. We got a friend that got money. We got an aunt that got money. And we got a vision from God. We got the vision from God. Now, if God is the one that gives vision, God is the same one that gives provision. Did y'all catch that? Okay. And so what happens is we get a vision from the Lord, and then we're going to go ask everybody else for the provision because we know they got it. We're going to go to the bank. The bank going to say, how's your credit? Even if the bank says yes, you got to ask your wife, are we going to sign a loan for this vision? Okay. We're going to go ask friends for money, and they're going to say, okay, you're going to have to pay me back, this and that. And that's just an example with money, but there's so many other things. And so what we have to do is rely upon the one that's given us the vision to provide provision. Because if a man makes you, then a man can break you. And so God don't want us to give no praise to no man. God puts us in a position oftentimes where we have to say, didn't nobody do this but the Lord. When I launched my first church and God gave me the vision for it and I went to my pastor out of obedience, God gave the vision for it. And then God provided the finances. And I want the people to understand this because there are some pastors who are legacy pastors. And what I mean by that is they are in a situation where a church has been around 100 years, a church has been around 50 years, it's almost paid off, it's halfway paid off, and the pastor is retired or has moved on or has died, and a position is open. And they go in, and they're just keeping the ministry ongoing. They have a salary. Many of us are called to launch ministries, and that is a more serious faith walk because buildings aren't free. Marketing is not free. You're starting with a zero budget. This is walking by faith. When you launch a ministry, I think about T.D. Jakes. People look at him now, and they say, oh, that's a man of faith. And he says, no. I was a man of faith when it was just me, my wife, and our children. I was still a man of faith out there struggling when it was just 11 of us, when it was just 50 of us. And he tells his story, and that's why we should read these books. There's good stories in the Bible. I love them all. And there's good stories written by good leaders out there. And so many people think that is magic, and it's not. It's faith. And so when God sees that you're faithful over a few things, God will bless you to be ruler over many. And what we have is a lot of people will quit Jeanette. They will quit after year one. They will quit after year two. And God may have it in his heavenly divine plan that if Pastor Estelle sticks there through the third year, I'm gonna triple his anointing. I'm going to bring in 100 more people. I'm going to open a way for a new building. And this is what God's doing. And Pastor Estelle don't know that. And Pastor Estelle can't feel that during the second year when people are leaving and when the rent doubling and when bills are coming down. And God is still saying, move, go forward, go forward, go forward. See, God will test you. God will test you. And God will see that can you be faithful when you're struggling? Can you be faithful when you're waiting? And then also on the other side of that, because we're talking about walking by faith, is will you remain faithful when it's good? Because oftentimes that can be the hardest side. We look at David.
And you know, Pastor, it's interesting you're saying that because we all have been through a test and have a testimony. Because I tell individuals, even with what I do, people call me, I'm on the phone, I'm constantly trying to help, I'm always there, I'm always available. Even when I get tired, I just, you know, and I'm learning to give me some rest from time to time too. But when I went into business, I don't have no business sense. I don't like business. I never have. Because I'm not cutthroat and I'm not political. I'm learning to keep my mouth closed sometimes because I get in trouble. But by that same
token,
God knew what he was doing when he put me in this position because I didn't have a clue. I didn't know an LLC from an S corp to a C corp. But when they say if he can bring you to it, he can bring you through it. And you knew I was struggling when they tried to put me out of business years ago. And I look at these builders and I said, you know, Lord, I'm only here one day a week. It makes no sense for these offices for me to be paying this rent for one day a week, but I'm obedient. I'm always available. I make sure I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And I know God is opening up other doors for me and sending me in so many different directions, but I still have to be faithful. And I still have to make sure I don't abuse my power. Because a lot of times what we do is we stop trusting God and we start trying to take all the credit. I don't take credit for nothing I do, for nothing I say. I tell people sometimes when they say I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because I can sit in a meeting sometimes and just let the Holy Spirit use me, and it'd be right on time. I'd be like, and then I forgot what the heck I just said. I don't even remember. So, but we got to learn how to exercise that. And one of the things I said also, when I'm not talking about the three types of faith, but sharing your faith with others. A lot of times when we start sharing, people don't want to hear it. They think you're bragging. My son called me at 1 o'clock in the morning. Mom, can you tell me why your sisters don't like you? Mom, I never known you to be like that. I said, I'm not. I said, don't ask me, ask them. I said, I never said I didn't like them. I never said anything. So sometimes when people, and T.D. Jakes said it best, you are a threat when you can make an impact, when you basically have power, and you have influence. And everybody's not going to like you because of your faith, and even when you share it. So what can we tell the believers to witness to other people to keep sharing your faith with others?
Yes. It's a different type of direction right now. And so what we're doing is we're shifting a little bit with this question from our faith process to dealing with our faith as our belief system. And so in answering that question, I may have to go to Paul first. When Paul speaks in Romans, he says that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus came, he died for us, Jesus made a way for us, and the Apostle Paul says, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. There's a lot behind that because Paul was the chief of the Pharisees. He was from a well-to-do Jewish family. He went to the top schools. He was on the Sanhedrin court. Paul had a lot of status. In today's time, we equivalent that to him going to Harvard, to him having, you know, being a Rhodes Scholar out of Oxford, to him belonging to maybe one of the Ford family or the Bush family. Paul had a lot of status. And to hear the voice of God, to trust God, to believe by faith that it was his Lord, and now to give all of that up to follow God, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. In other words, he was not ashamed of his newfound faith. He wasn't ashamed of this being faith as a belief system, his faith as his new covenant relationship with Jesus. Because at the time, they weren't called Christians yet. They were called those people of the way. And and Paul said, whatever you call me, I'm not ashamed of it. And now, in sharing his faith, there was a connectivity there of him having his testimony, his personal testimony with Jesus, and then sharing his knowledge in the scriptures, having faith in what Jesus had told him in his writing of, you know, his 13 epistles to the churches to edify them. And so when we share our faith, it has those components connected to them. It's our personal testimony. Part of mine is coming out of, you know, Southern historical Baptist traditional family into going into a charismatic Pentecostal system. That's part of my testimony. It's coming out of traditionalism and then coming out of Southern, you know, colloquial Baptist traditionalism into having a charismatic Pentecostal relationship with God. That's part of my personal testimony, my walk of faith. And then now my faith walk, it starts from an early age of reading the Bible. You know, our catechism was Sunday school, and then we had Bible study, and then learning the books of the Bible, and then learning how to break the Bible down itself. And so I'm so glad you had that question, because so many believers don't have that foundation, and that's what affects their faith. If you understand what Genesis is really saying, if you understand, you know, the five first books of the Bible, we call the books of the law, the Torah, the Pentateuch, when you understand those, you actually see the face of God moving in the Jewish family, in the Hebrew family, I mean, and how he extended that promise not just to them, but to the church. You see the development of the church. You see God, how you can see faith in the walk of Abraham. And his is similar to mine, to leave your family, to walk away, to step out on faith, for God to put you into, to launch a new religion, a new denomination. That's essentially what Abraham did. He walked away from his whole family by faith. And then the Lord tested him. Leave your nephew. Walk away from Lot. Leave him because he's flesh. Lot means flesh. It means veil. Then the Lord said, leave the land of your nativity. Leave your nephew. And all those things had connections to him. Leaving his land, he left idols. Faith move. Leaving his nephew, he left flesh. Faith move. Trusting in the Lord in the battles that he won. God taught him strength and confidence, and he learned how to be a leader. And then now, when the Lord says, take your only son, Isaac, take him up. I want you to sacrifice him. Then he learned the ultimate faith. And so people say, well, the Lord wanted him to be a cannibal. The Lord wanted him to go in and to cannibalize his son, to kill his son, to take him up to the altar, to sacrifice him and be just like the heathens and have a sacrificial offering. No, what the Lord got him to understand, and this is very key. I want everybody to hear this. Halfway up the mountain, Abraham realized that God can't keep his promise if I kill this boy. And so somehow, some way, even though what God is asking me to do don't make sense to me right now, it will make sense to me later on. I'm going to keep following God's plan because I have faith in the Lord and what he said. I'm not going to try to manipulate. I'm not going to try and change. I'm not going to try and help God because I've learned from this before, this lesson before. That will increase the other problems. And then when he got to where God told him to do, God had already provided a provision for what he needed to do in his final mission. And so I have seen that happen so many times in my life. The Lord sent me to, I don't tell this story often, but it's powerful. The Lord sent me one time to preach. This church called me. I never heard of them before. They called me to come preach. And I said, let me pray on it. And the Lord, before I got off the phone, the Lord said, you need to pray on it. Go preach. I told him I was going to preach. They said, this is where we are. Here's our address. And this was before MapQuest and all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And I went out. I just started driving. And the Lord took me right to the church, went to the church, got there right in time, walked out of my car, walked right up to the pulpit. The preacher said, we didn't have nobody on standby because God told me you would be here. Walked right out of my car, walked right into the pulpit. No preparation, pulled out my Bible, preached. Over 40 people got saved that night.
Wow.
Okay. The Lord blessed the church. They raised the most money they ever had that night. And then the Lord had me turn around and give that money back to the church. They raised me a $3,500 offering. That was the biggest offering I ever received ever as an honorarium for preaching. And before I left the church, the Lord told me to sign that check back over to the church. And
you know what?
And preachers will joke. That's when
wow.
preachers will joke and say, you know, Lord, is it really you? And mm-hmm. I didn't even say that. I just signed the check back over to the church, got in my car, drove home. The next day
wow.
in my mailbox, I had a check for $5,000.
Mm-hmm. You know what? He accepts you. It's so funny. I got to throw my friend up under the bus. I'm a friend. She's the owner of Courageous Woman Magazine. And we became friends. It was interesting. But I'll never forget when she told me one time I said something to her. She told me, I said, well, the Lord told me to give you $1,000, and I struggled with that, so I gave you five. She said, where my other 500 at?
Yeah. Amen.
I was like, Lord, I don't even know this woman. Lord, why I got to pay all these bills. I got to do this. You know, and it's basically being obedient. But I can say that God has
yes.
definitely blessed me, because some days I'll be like, who? I don't even worry about it no more. Because they say if you go worry, don't pray. If you go pray, don't worry, don't do both. Because
right.
trying to do both is driving crazy. Now,
mm-hmm.
when we're talking about this faith, because like I said, a lot of individuals are still struggling, and we got to strengthen it like a muscle. We got to work on it. We got to build your faith in God. And by building your faith in God is trusting God. When you can't trust your mama, you can't trust your daddy, you can't trust your friends, you can't trust nobody else. Sometimes you have nobody else to turn to but God. Now,
yes.
the difference, how can faith lead to trusting God, or do trusting God lead to you having faith? What came first? Like they say, the apples or the, you know, the chicken or the egg. So which one is it, Pastor? Did we trust them and then have faith, or did we have faith and trust?
They are intertwined. And we first trust in what we can see. I'm just going to lay it out. Because
mm-hmm.
As a young boy growing up in the church, from my own experience and from other people, before I had to know the Lord for myself, I knew the church mothers, my Sunday school teacher, and I earned trust in them through pies, through cookies, through gum, you know, and through obedience from my parents, and you know, and from fear too. You go to church, you better be
mm-hmm.
good, or you go, you know. And then what we do is, over time, what we're hearing starts sinking into our mind, and then these teachers will put us through exercises. They're gonna have you put on programs. You're gonna say speeches. You're gonna learn these things, and what they're doing is. Our gifts are starting to show. This one can sing. This one speaks well. This one's good at helps. This one's good at working. This one's good at on the altar and different ones. And then as we start doing that, we're just like the example of Samuel. Samuel was busy being obedient to Eli. Samuel was busy working in the temple. Samuel was busy being obedient. And then one day he heard God's voice. And that's what happens. We first are trusting and we first are faithful to our families and to our churches.
Mm-hmm.
And God sees that happen. God sees that happening. And then the Lord speaks to us. And now we get a direct interaction with the Lord where he will see if we really trust him and do we have faith in him now. And so
mm-hmm.
a lot of these things come about, and exactly as you said, God will start preparing us and we start building our faith and our trust. And sometimes as youth, we don't even know it. And a
mm-hmm.
lot of times it's just through obedience. You know, when you got up and said those speeches, when you helped teach, when you helped do these things, you're building trust and faith in the church, in Christ, and in God. And then now, here's a word that we haven't talked about yet. God starts to stretch you. And so now a challenge comes about. And the first time this happened to me, I think I was 12 or 13 years old, you know, when I knew it was God challenging me, God stretching me in my faith. A group of young people came to me and they said, "That's him that wanted to go to church all the time. Tell me about your Jesus." Am I gonna say, "Well, come to church," or, "Well, y'all leave me alone," you know, or "Let's play
mm-hmm.
football," or there's a lot of excuses, and then at the same time, we have to be careful of two closely related words, arrogance and confidence.
Yeah.
So confidence in your faith is portraying God the right way. Arrogance is portraying you. And when you're arrogant on a mission for the Lord, that'll get you in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
When you're confident that God's going to use you as his mouthpiece and God's going to edify you, then God's going to bless you. And so the Lord
mm-hmm.
allowed me to be an effective witness. And out of that group, two of them came to church. And you feel good as a believer because God has now used you to be effective and to help grow the kingdom. And for me, that was amazing. The feeling was incredible to see them at church. And I'm going to share one more quick story before your next question. One of my good friends, we were talking on faith, and then we were talking on the witnessing team, and the Lord woke him up. And I won't say his name right now, but the Lord woke him up and told him, "Invite your boss to church."
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Lord, I know I'm having a bad dream. This is why I work." and the Lord didn't say a coworker, and the Lord didn't say, you know, anybody else. The Lord directed him towards the owner of his company. And he was an employee. He wasn't even the manager at that time. And so God set it up in such a way that he had the opportunity to talk to the owner of the company. And he said, "I know this has to be God because this man talks to my boss and not me." And so while he was talking to the owner of the company, he said to him, "The Lord told me to invite you to church." And he said
mm-hmm.
his heart was beating out his chest. He's sweating, and they were having a good conversation, and all of a sudden, the
mm-hmm.
owner of the company froze. His face
mm-hmm.
turned white, and he turned around, and he looked at the young man, and he said, "Thank you." And he
mm-hmm.
said, "God's been trying to get me back into church for over 8 years." He said, "I haven't
mm-hmm.
been back to church because he divorced his wife. It was messy. It was ugly. His wife took half of his company. He lost a lot of money. His children didn't talk to him. They walked away from him. His wife married another man. He lost a lot of his wealth. All he had left, he had four companies. He had one company left.
Mm-hmm.
So he was broken.
Wow.
He was bitter. He was tore down and lost a lot of his money. And now he was starting to go back in the right direction finally. And
He
said,
not to cut you off,
the Lord was.
I'm going to log on two callers. There's two people on hold right now. Let me log them on. Give me 1 second.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
Hi, caller. This is Jeanette Abney. I know you've been on hold for a minute, so I'm logging you on. How are you doing? Okay, I guess you don't say nothing. 2205. There's another caller with a 760 area code. Give me 1 second.
Oh, I'm good. I'm good.
Okay. Hi, this is Jeanette Abney. Welcome to Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio, with also with Pastor Dan Estelle. Second caller, phone number ending in 9397. Do you have any questions for the pastor? Okay, they're both on the air, but I guess they don't have any questions.
Okay.
Okay.
We just like
so,
pastor to finish the story.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the owner of the company ended up joining the church, and he was a blessing to the ministry. And there was a complete blessing all the way around for everyone involved. And the way God put it together, again, it's another one of those stories where no one else could give glory to anything but God. And it was a complete action of faith on everybody's part. So, yes, questions?
Okay. Anybody? I just logged on 2 callers. Do either of you have a question for the pastor? I guess they just want to listen, don't want to talk. Which
yeah,
is
just
fun.
Listening right now. Yeah, just listening
oh,
right now.
I just logged in late. I don't know what the topic was. I logged in late, so I'm just going to listen.
The topic is basically, where is your faith? Now, I have some information because we do have about over 15 minutes left on the show. And when we're talking about faith, I have some information that talks about 7 daily steps to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Number one, don't depend on you. A lot of times we get so focused or dependent on ourselves that can get us in trouble. Even though we live in a world where we trust and we trust must be earned and it seems to be in short supply, let's talk about Solomon and the famous king who wrote the Proverbs. Knew that trust was exactly where we must start, but you can depend on you because many of us have faced disappointment. But what else happens, Pastor, when we start trusting ourselves? I'm going to put them on mute because I can't hear a background noise. Okay, so, Pastor, what else happens when you start trusting in yourself?
Well, what happens is that is the other side of that very thin razor line of arrogance and confidence. And so what happens is God can really bless, and God can bless us so well that if we listen to other folks, listen to ourselves, and listen to the world, it'll make you think you did it yourself and you all that.
Mm-hmm.
And what'll happen is that we begin to believe that it was all us. Now, God blesses us. God blesses us. God blesses our abilities. God will increase our gifts, our anointings, but there's nothing like still having God in that mix and giving God the praise for everything. And so our gifts are so much better and enhanced with the Holy Ghost and doing it with the Lord. And when we take that trust away from the Lord, we're headed for a great fall. And so we studied about Solomon for a long time because, you know, too much is given, much is required. And Solomon was given every warning. The prophet said, if you take all these different wives, they're going to lead you away from the Lord. No, they won't. No, they won't. If you keep seeking after all these riches and all this gold, it's going to take your mind off God. No, it won't. No, it won't. If you keep listening to these other voices, they're going to make you not listen to God. No, it won't. No, it won't. No, it won't. And it all did. And so what we have to is that it's one thing to have good counselors around us that we can rely on. It's another thing to listen to the good advice that they're giving us. And so you see so many people in a place of power. I can think of several people right now, I won't say any names, where they bully the people around them to give them only the advice that they want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're trusting in their own ability now, and trusting in their own ability now, they're going to fall. Because it's saying several things. Number one is saying that the God who got me here can't keep me here. And God's saying, oh, okay, go on with your bad self. Number two is saying, number two is saying that I don't need to sustain a prayer life, a fasting life, a life connected to the Word of God. And all those things are going to make us weak. And what happens is we end up like Solomon. And then a more powerful example is Samson, because Samson ended up blinded and weak. The Lord took away his eyesight so he could no longer see the flesh. And then the Lord took his strength, because his strength was connected to his anointing, and it was by the faith of his parents doing exactly what God told him that he obtained his strength. And so the Lord said, let me see how you are now without the gifts, without the gifts that you received by faith and by trusting me.
Gotcha. Okay, Pastor, let me log on another caller. I got another call coming in. Give me 1 second, and then I got something else I want to throw out there. Hi, this is Jeanette Abney and Pastor Dan Estelle. Welcome. How are you doing?
Hi.
Last number. Hi, do you have any questions as it relates to this topic?
If I have doubt, does that mean I have no faith?
Very, very good question.
What is it that you're doubting? Mm-hmm. Where's your doubt? What is your doubt about? Where's this doubt coming from?
If I even just have a, if I pray for something and then I just hesitate, or I'm curious about where it's going to come from, the provision, or is he going to do what I want him to do? Does that mean I have no faith, or, you know, I'm just like, so am I doubting God that he's not going to move because I'm questioning when he's going to move?
I'm going to say, let me say this fast, because it's something like being a kid, and we want this immediate gratification. And I heard you say, I want it, you know, and it's like a parent telling you, no, not right now. Kind of goes back to what I used to hear Pastor when he would say, delay but not deny, meaning it may not be time for you to have that right now. You might not be ready for it right now. What you going to do when you get it, if I give it to you right now? Are you going to know where it came from? Are you going to give me the glory for giving it to you? And a lot of times when we don't get what we want, we get mad and we want to throw temper tantrums. But by that same token, it goes back to the worrying. Are you worrying about it? Are we talking about paying our bills? Are we talking about, you know, because a lot of times we do have doubt, but by that same token, are you doubting God? So now, Pastor, I'm going to let you take over. Pastor? Where'd Pastor go? Pastor just disappeared. Okay. Tammy, you want to help her with this? Okay.
Hello?
Nobody want to say
I'm
okay.
Here. Hello.
No, here we go. Wait, my pastor just got disconnected. Let me log in back on.
Yes.
Okay, Pastor. I'm logging you back on. Yeah,
okay.
She had the question. She wanted to know, her question was, because I gave some information in regards to being a kid and wanting it, and I want
yes.
it, I want it right now.
Yes.
So she wanted to know, is she doubting God? Because God is not, you know, like they say, he may not come when you want him, but he's always right on time. So
right.
she wants some help with that because she's struggling with doubt.
Yes. For the caller, the answer to that question is that God is such a big and such a powerful God that he is not offended when the believer doubts. And so we're quick to want to, well, why are you doubting? Why this and why that? And doubt is okay for a believer, because it just means that you have a question for the Lord, and you believe in what he's saying, and so now you just want it to have some reassurance to it. And so that's okay with the Lord. God is okay with that.
Yes, that's
he looked at Thomas He looked at Thomas and he said that, "It's okay, Thomas, touch me." And the church puts Thomas down so bad. But Thomas is like me. Thomas said, "Lord, let me feel the holes in your hand. Let me touch the hole in your side to see if it's really you." And so Thomas did, and Jesus said, "That's okay, Thomas. That's a blessing for you for doing that." And so the Lord blessed him. And so the other disciples who were there not saying nothing, they had some doubt too, and Jesus picked up on it and told them, "You know, y'all sitting over here, and now you want to talk about Thomas, but at least he asked the question. He was brave enough to do that." And so what happens is doubt that's not confronted or not brought up before the Lord turns into a serious problem. And so when you have doubt, go to the Lord in prayer. And what God will do is God will reveal revelation. Revelation comes from doubt. I want the caller to hear that. Now, as you pointed out, Jeanette, there could be several reasons why the Lord has not answered that prayer yet. But what I can tell you definitely is that every single reason is going to be on the believer's side. It's going to be on that person's side. So it could depend with maturity. It could depend on God not giving you something that you're not ready to handle yet. It could be all of those reasons. Okay, and so the main thing to understand is that God is a God of covenant, a God of promise. Everything He promised, everything He said is going to come to pass. And then the other thing is that I want to speak on this because I feel it in my spirit. Some people are waiting for the white relationship. They're waiting for a husband. They're waiting for a wife. And they said, "Lord, we're seeking by faith for these things." And it seemed like the Lord is blessing everybody else around you. And so what the Lord is doing is that oftentimes when people have rushed into relationships and had mistakes and rushed into things, and now God is putting you in a place where you are comfortable with Him, and so that the relationship that's coming won't compromise your relationship with Him. And so whether it's a house, whether it's a car, whether it's a relationship, and so just as Jeanette said, delay doesn't mean denial. And it's okay to have doubt in the Lord regarding something that God has promised you or that you feel that the Lord has talked to you about in covenant. It's going to come.
Thank you.
And you know, Pastor, I want to say too is talking about the second one is cry out to God. Surrendering to God begins with your lips and your thoughts. Because if you keep having negative thoughts, the negative bad things will happen. And that's why we say, "I'm going to stand on His word." His word, God can, is a man that cannot lie. And if He says so, it will come. And we want it to come to fruition, but it may not come when we want it to come, but it doesn't mean it's not going to come. And also, sometimes we get our needs and our wants confused. We may say we want it, Lord, but do we really need it? And then some things we may not need, but God may give it to us anyway. That's when we're talking about God is in the blessing business. But you got to stand on it. And we need more of a commitment, too, when we depended on Him, crying out to God, to show Him that, "God, Lord, I'm ready. Lord, You said in Your word." And sometimes with God, because God will answer prayers. Now, another thing, Pastor, I want to say, Lord, I'm about to call you Pastor Hammond. See, I went there. Okay. Run from evil is another thing in regards to how we can do our daily steps of trusting the Lord with all of our heart. A lot of times, Pastor, we don't know when to run. So when we live in this world, we can get cluttered up with our relationships with God. And John, the writer of the fourth gospel, describes them as the desires of the flesh, the lust, the eyes. We talked about all of that. But how can we say we trust God, we have faith in God, but yet we don't know when to run from evil? What are we supposed to do? What do you want the listeners to know about running from evil?
Yes. Running, as it pertains to having faith in God, it is, first of all, knowing that God is not going to lead you into evil. And so as the believer learns the word of God, and that comes by faith, hearing comes from, right? Hearing comes by faith, faith by the word of God. Mm-hmm. What happens is, as our relationship becomes stronger with the Lord, we know, even as believers, some things are of the flesh, some things are of God. Just as we talked about a few weeks ago, Paul says that all things are lawful, but not all things are edifying. And then he says in another passage, all things are lawful, but I won't be bound to any. And so what Paul learned was that if a believer is on a serious faith walk, they have to cut out everything that interferes with that. And so if we are on any type of journey, we have to take away every negative thing that's going to affect that. Now, when we do fall, and when something does happen, God also has a provision in his word that says God is faithful and just to forgive. And what that text is essentially saying is that there's a promise from the Lord that he's always going to forgive you if you ask him. That's not saying that that God is, nope, I ain't forgiving that one. Nope, I'm not forgiving that one. He's given us an example of his faith now. His faith is saying that because I knew you before you knew yourself, because I knew your whole life, because I gave you my covenant, even though I knew 50 years from now you was going to make that mistake. I knew that already. Mm-hmm. God knew that. And so God says, I'm faithful and just to forgive that. Okay? Mm-hmm. What we have to do is be faithful enough to believe that God has forgiven us. Mm-hmm. And continue our journey.
Okay. Now, Pastor, we got about 3 minutes left in the show. So if you want to call in, if you have any questions, again, you can give us a call. We would love to hear from you. Now, I want to say in regards to something else that is in my spirit as I'm thinking about this in regards to the steps, in regards to trusting the Lord with all your heart, because sometimes we want to give them half. You know, it's like a relationship. It can't be 50-50. It got to be 100-100. And you spoke on something about checking yourself by God's word. Compare yourself to the word and stand on that. But listening to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes when we're trying to listen and we're trying to hear the Holy Spirit, we got all these distractions going on. It has something to do with our faith. Pastor, what do you want the listeners to know in regards to listening to the Holy Spirit as we are developing and strengthening our faith in God?
Yes. Let me start by saying that the believer has to, first of all, believe that it's possible by faith. We have a lot of carnal Christians. And what I mean by that is when we read the book of Matthew, we understand that only a fourth of the seed was good. And so only a fourth of the people going to the church, Jeanette, are really Christians. That's carnal Christians out there. And then of that group, he says that some will return, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. And so now we're looking at the measure of growth within that sector of believers. And so within that, what I'm saying is that there are a lot of people who call themselves Christians that don't even believe in the Holy Ghost to begin with, don't believe that God can actually speak to them through the rhema, through the logos, through dreams, and through visions, and through prophets. Amen. And so we have that issue, first of all. And so that's part of the faith walk, because God communicates through us, through song, through vision. He communicates through us through different ways, through scripture. And we have to believe, we have to connect. We have to believe in our heart, our mind, and our soul in faith, and then when God begins to open up that relationship and we get stronger with him, we have to stand on that word now.
You know what, Pastor? Somebody's calling in. We only got 45 seconds, and I know we're going to be ending the show. So I don't know. Call someone. Just call in. Last number, 60292. But I know we got 30-something seconds. You have a quick question for the pastor?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with faith, but I have a problem. I do have faith, but, you know, when you have so many things going on, so many attacks, I find myself trying to access my faith in order to calm my spirit, and I'm having a heck of a hard time with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me answer you real quick. Your faith is working because you're still here. Your faith is mm-hmm. working because you're yet praying. You might be going through a lot of attacks, but the very fact that you're here and they haven't taken you out, you're on faith. Mm-hmm. The other thing, real quick, callers, because time is going out, is that if you're facing so many attacks, God has a big blessing coming your way. He's gonna give mm-hmm. you double for your trouble. So don't give in. Hold out. Know that help is on the mm-hmm. way. Stand on your testimony. And not only that, look for your strength that's in the church. Their strength in numbers. Partner with other believers. Pray with them. Fast with them. Okay. And read the word that's applicable to the test and trial that you're going through.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, Pat, we done ran out of time. We done went way over the time, but thank you. I wanted to make
thank
sure because I knew you probably had something to say. That's why I'm glad you got through. So next week we're going to be talking about You Can't Handle Satan. So join us next week for another exciting episode at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio as we're going to be talking about You Can't Handle Satan.
Okay, right here.
Can't wait to hear from you next week. Talk to you later, Pastor.
All right. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.